Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end, the source of our love, and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. Thanksgiving Sunday. What images do you find evoked in your mind? Roast turkey, pumpkin pie, and all the fixings. A family dressed in their finest attire gathered around a table saying grace. Or perhaps a broader image might come to mind: North American settlers and First Nations people in historical attire gathered harmoniously. These images, while certainly based in fantasy, I would still suggest are good ones to hold today. While our world has far to go in terms of food justice, it's good to gather at table and be in thanksgiving, considering how the bounty before us is to be shared. While our family may be missing special people around its table, it may include outlaws and in-laws, it's good to gather and work at being family. While our country may have far to go in our relationship with its First Nation community, and indeed in seeking to be a true intercultural mosaic, celebrating our differences, it's good to work at this hopeful image of unity. In short, what we do today in Thanksgiving practice, as idealized as it may be, helps us to move towards the hopeful coming of the kingdom. This kingdom that God seeks to have unfold through us and through all of us, a future of us gathered around one table in the spirit of thanksgiving. And to be sure, this kingdom will not unfold without these essential components of gratitude and of thanksgiving. This morning's text, we hear a very familiar teaching of Jesus. It's often called Jesus' longest sermon, certainly the longest one ever recorded, the Beatitudes. Blessed are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger, those who show mercy, the pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted. One scholar ponders why this teaching is so truly revolutionary, and he notes that Jesus is placing blessing on those who were considered to be the last and to be the least. Today, and who we might traditionally call history's losers in the worldly game of power and dominance. Today this sermon could equally be recorded to be saying that the blessed are those of color, or the women, or the uninsured, or the immigrants, or the LGBTQ community, and so on and so on. In Jesus' sermon, he lifts up society's neglected outcasts and says they are the blessed ones of God. This, of course, was a complete reversal of the understanding of blessing predominant in the Roman-ruled culture in Jesus' day. The emperor was at the top, of course, of the pyramid, and he was supremely blessed over all others. All blessings were understood to flow through him. He was the one worthy to bless those below him. And the richer and the more powerful would be the first to receive blessing, and they in turn would bless those who were below them. And so the ladder of social blessings trickles from top slowly down to the bottom. What makes Jesus' sermon so memorable is that in his economy of blessing, this order is completely reversed. The other unique aspect of Jesus' perspective on blessing for us to pay attention to is that it is all about community. Jesus' blessing is communal rather than individual. While blessings might have previously been viewed as something the privilege would bestow upon a family or friend around them, Jesus gives a prescription of blessing that is entirely about an entire community. Did you notice that almost every blessing was in a plural form? Blessed are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who are hungry, those who show mercy, the pure in heart, peacemakers, the persecuted. Jesus was more concerned with the blessed community than he was with blessing people one by one. Jesus wants all to be in a blessed community of God. As we've been discovering, that is the nature of gratitude as well. Gratitude is inherently social because it connects us as individuals and makes us all kin, family. Gratitude allows for the unfolding of God's kingdom through this new way of viewing one another. True gratitude then cannot be quiet in the face of injustice. True gratitude is about extending care for the last, for the least, for the lost, and for the vulnerable. This is the way of God. The way we are called to echo, the way we are called to live in ways of care and compassion for others. We began this conversation about 4 weeks ago, speaking about how gratitude has a functional place in society prior to the time of social rules and law. Back then, it was a quid pro quo, that Latin word, that form of gratitude, where we did something for someone in return. And gratitude served to function in society to ensure debts were gratefully repaid. Jesus' teaching tries to move it along in the community into a new understanding of gratitude, a new way of living thanksgiving, and the benevolent sharing of blessing with all, whether they've done something for us or not. He's trying to move them from doing something for others just in order to receive something in return. Instead, Jesus' gospel was moving his followers towards a new mentality, something today we hear of called pro bono, which means doing something for good, doing something for the sake of the greater good. Pro bono, as we know, is a call, a deep call to living this way of gratitude that is the cornerstone of the Christian life. This way of being of Jesus would later be taught in the Golden Rule, to teaching that would be shared among all religions, doing things for others as they do to us, sharing with others. Gratitude is this call towards self-giving, a call towards benevolent responsiveness. Gratitude is a rule that has no hierarchical structure, the teaching that reminds us that we are all simply human beings, called to share in the suffering and the wants of the other. Gratitude is an acknowledgement of our interconnected nature. It's knowing that sooner or later, everyone will be on the receiving end because of their time of need or their time of surplus, be it physical or spiritual or emotional. We will all face times of plenty and we will all face times of need. Call is to live in a way of gratitude, to live in a way of receiving gratitude, sharing and receiving gifts and the blessings of God for all. It's a wonderful TED Talk that I highly recommend by Catholic Benedictine monk. His name is Brother David Stendel Rast. He is deeply committed to interfaith dialogue. He speaks about many times about the interaction between science and spirituality. And in his talk, he has some very wise words on gratitude. If you are grateful, you're not fearful. And if you're not fearful, you're not violent. If you're grateful, you act out of a sense of enough and not out of a sense of scarcity, and you are willing to share. If you are grateful, you're enjoying the differences between people and you're respectful to everybody, and that changes the power pyramid under which live. Just a few moments ago, we celebrated this wonderful experience, this ministry with the Hamoud family. What a long journey this has been for us and for them. And it all began. It all began as a call towards living a faith defined by gratitude. These words of appreciation from our wonderful family, we heard in so many different ways from all of them. Thank you. It touched us all deeply this morning, didn't they? Many of us had tears welling up from this powerful journey we have together all walked. We seem somehow, though, I notice, stumped at the best way to respond to these words of appreciation. These words of thank you typically elicit a polite response, you're welcome. Yet this response seems glaringly inadequate in this occasion. So what shall we say? I wonder if the best response arises from the deep, faithful spoken words of gratitude, such as, God is good. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. For we have all been touched by the gratitude of God. We have witnessed it in action. We have experienced it and we have lived it out. So now, friends, the journey continues. The journey that calls us to a spiritual path, walking it of gratitude as we follow the grateful one, the way of Christ. I'd like to leave you with a closing image of celebration of wine and merriment that we sometimes enjoy around a Thanksgiving table. The wonderful Sufi writer Rumi prophetically wrote, gratitude is the wine of the soul. Go on, get drunk. May every day be a day of thanksgiving. Amen.